game, you can take it from here. Why don't you stay and maybe join in the fun? Now the show has begun.
Yes, Dick Bentley and Jimmy Edwards will be on hand for the next 30 minutes with Wallace Eaton, Al McCogan, June Whitfield, Herbert Mostyn and the Keynotes, all inviting you to...
No, Bentley, it's no use arguing with me. My mind is made up. I'm going to become an MP.
Oh, nonsense, Jim. You're not the type. I know. Oh, I admit the red cap and the armband are glamorous, but...
No, not. Not military policeman, Bentley. Member of Parliament.
Oh.
I feel that the public is tired of conservatives and socialists and liberals. I believe, gentlemen, that the time is ripe for a brand new political concept. Jimunism.
Jimunism? What's that?
Well, I'll tell you. Like a woman driver, we pursue a middle-of-the-road policy.
Do you honestly think you're equipped to be a member of Parliament? I mean, apart from having a built-in back bench.
Bentley, anybody can be a member of Parliament, even you. I tell you what, look, if you join, I'll make you the grand old man of politics.
No, thanks, Jimmy, no. Politics is a dirty business.
Then I'll make you the dirty old man of politics.
You make it sound very attractive. But no. You know what would happen if Dick Bentley was found to be connected with a subversive political movement?
What would happen?
The 47th Cuckoo Scout Troop would be leaderless. I'm sorry, Jimmy, I just can't risk it. Not now, not with that Woodcraft badge right within my grasp.
Bentley, I should think you're pretty good at Woodcraft.
Very tasty.
Think of this. You and I,
yes,
together, mm-hmm, in the House of Commons, why, Bentley, we could become another great political team, like Fox and Pitt.
Yes, or Gladstone and Desire.
Disraeli. Please, Bentley, help the fight for Jimunism. One for all and all for Jim. I'm going to do great things.
Jim, you fire me with enthusiasm.
Yes, that's the first thing I'm going to do. And here's my first pronouncement. Pay attention, England. Rally here same time next week. Meanwhile, here is party member Al McCogan to entertain you. Come on, Bentley. Let's go and write "Vote for Jim" on all the walls.
Vote for Jim.
Vote for Jim.
Everybody knew Tony was lonely, sipping wine in Luigi's cafe. It was plain as could be that he dreamed of Marie. And when he would leave, they'd all say, from the vine came the grape, from the grape came the wine, from the wine came the dream of a lover. He was back with Marie on the Isle of Capri, with a million stars shining above her. Once again he romanced as they kissed and they danced, and he even heard wedding bells chime. From the vine came the grape, from the grape came the wine, and for Tony a wonderful time. With a song in his heart, he would sip another little glass of wine. With each sip he would sigh, my Bella Maria, you're mine. Once again he romanced as they kissed and they danced, and he even heard those wedding bells chime. From the vine came the grape, from the grape came the wine, and for Tony a wonderful time.
It's sickening. It's absolutely sickening, sir. Twirl, 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 twirl. And then again, twirl. Twirl, 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 and still more. Twirl, twirl, twirl.
Mr. Disgusted of Tunbridge Wells, what on earth are you talking about?
I am describing the interminable process of getting a spoonful of golden syrup out of the tin. Twirl, twirl, twirl. Have you ever considered how much time the average housewife wastes through this sort of thing? Yeah, and look, I'll tell you something else that makes me writhe and squirm. Look, potato crisps.
Well, you shouldn't eat them in bed.
Answer me this, sir. Why, sir, is the little bag of salt always right at the bottom of the package?
Oh, come, come, Mr. Discussed. If you can get so upset over things like this, you're overwrought.
Me, sir?
Yes, you need a holiday.
Oh.
Get away from the hectic, exotic atmosphere of Tunbridge Wells.
Oh, I think... Well, could you tell me where to go?
I could, but... I think I'll leave it to our Mr. Dunhill.
Well, sir, at this time of year, we recommend Switzerland. And if you wish to know more about the place, here is another of our Tyfe radio brochure.
To the discriminating winter sportsman, Switzerland has long been known as one of the prettiest countries in which to break a leg. And a jewel of all Swiss skiing resorts is the little town of Bad Oder.
I have been in Bad Oder for some time. It is the birthplace of William Tell, who wrote the famous overture of the same name. It is really delightful to see all the Swiss peasants leaping about in leather shorts and slapping each other's knees with milk chocolate. In my opinion, the only things that spoil the place are all those mountains and that horrible snow.
But how does one get to Bad Oder, asks the prospective tourist. Let us find the answer from another happy visitor.
Well, me and Sonia, that's the girl in my office, we went there on an all-inclusive luxury cult Charabong tour. We went through Normandy, Belgium, Luxembourg, Germany, Switzerland, and we saw all the countrysides. And what's more, coming back, we saw a whole lot of other countrysides.
You went through different countries?
No, they made us sit on the other side of the coach. After that, we were lucky with the lights right through as far as Lucerne.
What's the food like in Bad Oder?
Well, I'm a chap who's fussy about his fodder, but by Jove, when you're in Bad Oder, just take a stroll down the Blitzen, Dammen, Harven, Rotten, Stinken, Filthy Schwein. Or Rose Garden. Then ask for the speciality of the house. She's a nice girl. And she's always ready to please the visitor with a little bit of footsen humph. That's Brazil nut chocolate.
Finally, don't be put off if you and your wife have never been on skis before. A bronzed, handsome ski instructor is there to help you both.
Oh, Herr Otto, please. You're melting the snow drift.
But, gnädige Frau, it will be easier if I keep mine arm around you.
Oh, Herr Otto, but what about my husband?
He is all right on that other slope.
Oh, is that what you call the nursery slope?
No, no. We call it the Matterhorn. Oh, gnädige Frau, I love wealthy American widows.
Oh, but I'm not a widow. I've still got a husband. He's a... Oh, Herr Otto, viva las four.
Tyfe's talking point. Once again, we meet the Glanz, that worthy family who typifies so much that is best in the British way of life. Over to the Glanz.
Lovely just sitting here on the sofa toasting our toes, lost in our own little dream world. We're not talking much, but I feel somehow blissful. Don't you, Ron?
Now, eh? I finished all the pink ones in my dolly mixture.
Put the bag away a minute, sweetheart. Oh, Ron, isn't firelight romantic? It's like Wonderland here, with my face buried in the rough tweed of your jacket.
Mind you, don't get the top of my fountain pen stuck up your nose. Yes, Eth?
To you, am I absolutely perfect?
Yes, Eth.
But there must be something about me you'd like to change, Ron.
Now, Eth?
You mean you think I'm absolutely in every way absolutely perfect?
Yes, Eth.
One teeny weeny weeny thing you don't like?
Well, just one thing, Eth.
What, Ron?
You're a bit ugly.
Oh, Ron!
Eth, don't cry. I don't mind it, Eth. I've got used to it.
How could you, Ron?
No, now, don't, Eth, don't. You can have my dolly mixture. Yes, I
know. Hello, hello. Eth pulled the plug out again, has she? Well, I shan't interrupt. Here, Ron, just slip your mother's toothbrush back in the bathroom, will you? I thought I'd never get that mud off my suede shoes.
Mr. Clum, your Ron just turned round and for no reason at all informed me I'm ugly.
Oh, Ron. Oh, no, Ron, that wasn't nice, Ron. Nasty, hurtful. Ah, no. Fancy calling this little girl ugly. Now then, Effie, I got a hanky. Now, where are them tears? Just turn your face up to me and... Good. Lummy, look at it. Here, take the hanky and do it yourself.
I'm sorry I was rude, Eth. I suppose I just didn't listen to what I was saying. But you did ask me.
Ah, now I see what it was all about. Making a little list of each other's faults, was you? All engaged couples do that. I reckon when people fall in love, the same magic spell descends on all of them. So that somehow... Oh, look at the state of my hanky now. What you got on your eyelashes yet? Sump oil?
I'm sorry, Mr. Glum.
Give it here.
Mr. Glum, did you and Mrs. Glum make a list of each other's faults?
Oh, yes, F, yes, we did. As a matter of fact, we'd only just got engaged and Mrs. Glum was wearing that hat I give her. All feathers and little coloured flowers it was.
Oh.
I remember I got it cheap because it fell off the stall and a horse trod on it. Oh, it was a nice clean horse. Oh, we were so much in love. I remember it so vivid it could have been yesterday.
It wasn't yesterday, Dad. Yesterday she hit you with the gas poker.
I'm talking of nearly 40 years ago. We were sitting on a bench in Finsbury Park. I had my captain's uniform on. His spare one, as it happens. And she's... I don't know how it come out. She suddenly says to me, she says, "Tell me if there's anything about me you don't like."
But, Mr. Glum, those are the very words I used to Ron.
No.
Yes.
God, isn't life marvellous, eh? The way it just goes on and on. Oh, I shall have to tell her now about that. Excuse me shouting her, but she's upstairs getting ready for bed. Mama! Oh, the mystery voice. Mother, dear. Ron and F have had the same idea what we had that night on the bench in Finsbury Park.
Didn't she like being reminded about it, Mr. Glum? Oh,
it's not that, F. She's just trying to clean her teeth with that toothbrush.
Shuffling, shuffling, shuffling down.
rambling, scrambling, head to town. Hustling, bustling, buzzing around. Happily awaiting at the station. Look at that train number 709. Puffing and arriving on time. Who do you think's about to ride? The band they call the Dixieland Five. They're gonna play that muskrat ramble tune. You've never heard it played. Join in the big parade. All together now, one and two. Join the happy throng. Feel the beat of that rambling, scrambling muskrat song. Come on, ramble along. Shuffling, shuffling, shuffling down. Rambling, scrambling, heading to town. Hustling, bustling, buzzing around. Happily awaiting at the station. Look at that number 709. Huffing and jumping on time. Who do you think's about to ride? The band they call the Dixieland Five.
And soda, please, I say.
Straight away, Your Grace.
You mix quite a bit with American film actresses, don't you, Edward?
Oh, not much, Your Grace.
Tell me this. Why do these Americans always say our London policemen are so wonderful?
Well, actually, Your Grace, it's because, you see, the American police behave somewhat differently from ours.
Oh, he's right. At least if we can judge from such films as Rogue Cop or Police Corps.
I'm afraid I didn't see either of them.
Oh, yes. I forgot. Your Grace only goes to pictures when the flavor of the month is banana.
Yes.
Well, now, stand by and we'll give you an idea what these films are like.
I'm Patrolman Big Jim Malarkey, but don't think of me as the usual type of policeman. I'm different. I can be bribed. And a crooked copper just can't be fitted into an ordinary slot. Yeah, I'm on the payroll of Nick Rocco, public enemy number 11. Number 10. He made me a sweet proposition.
Listen, copper, I'm willing to pay you big money to take no notice of what goes on in my nightclub.
The Club Flamingo?
Yeah, there's two G's in it.
Not only was he a public enemy, he couldn't spell either. But I needed that money bad. Not only because I was putting my kid brother Danny through college, but because now there was Maxine.
Oh, Big Jim, you're my guy. My guy. The first day I seen you, I said, he's my guy. Remember that day, Jim?
Yeah, the 5th of November. Listen, kid, I'm hot for you too, Maxine. You got me smoochy again, baby.
Oh, Jim, it's no use fighting this thing. And you know for why. Because you and me, we're the same kind of people.
If we are, I made a hideous mistake.
Don't talk anymore, Big Jim. Just loop your mustache through my earrings again. And kiss me.
Oh, baby, can you hear my heart beating?
No. It's the front door. I'll go. Yeah?
Pardon me. I'm sorry to trouble you so late, miss, but I'm just a raw young college kid who's looking for malarkey.
Danny! Danny!
Jim!
Oh, Danny! Danny, boy. My kid brother. Look at him, Maxine. Isn't he something?
Yeah. What?
Jim! Don't get mad at me, but I quit college.
What?
I see now what I should have sown sooner. Jim, not only have I gotten out, but I shouldn't ought never to have went.
Daddy, what were you studying?
Classical English grammar.
But Danny, you were doing so well. Oh, Danny, and I tried so hard to give you a start in life. Remember Papa's last words.
Yeah. Go ahead, Water, but I still say I'm innocent.
No, no. Just before that. I remember I was just a kid of 7. He said to me, Broomface, he said. Look after Danny.
And you've done it, Jim. In my book, you're just one big swell guy. They just don't swell any bigger than you, Jim.
Oh, Danny, can that kind of stuff.
No, Jim, there's some stuff you can, and some stuff you can. I quit college, and this afternoon, I got me a job. The kind of job I was built for.
Oh, Danny, you're not posing for horror comics.
No, ma'am. Jim, this afternoon, I became a cop.
What? Jim, quit worrying and finish your goulash. Suppose Danny does find out you're paid for his education by being a dishonest cop. You're all mixed up inside.
That's the goulash. As if I haven't got enough trouble without that roaring round below there.
Jim, great news. I got promotion. I'm no longer in the police dog division.
Oh, great.
Yeah, they took my lead off this morning. I'm now working with the FBI. Tell you something. I'm going to get Nick Rocco.
No!
Nick Rocco! You're crazy!
It's true. The FBI wouldn't tell an FIB. And listen, Jim, Jim, what's the matter? You've turned green.
I'm just going on traffic duty. Danny, don't do this! Not Nick Rocco!
Jim, you can't let him go through with it. You gotta tell him.
I gotta?
You gotta. Oh, break it to him gently.
Okay. Danny, take a look at these receipts.
Receipts? Show me. To Policeman Malarkey. Bribes for month of November. For letting me ride my bicycle without a rear light, $30. For letting me bump off 3 politicians, $2.50. Signed, N. Rocco, chief gangster.
Yeah, now you know. That's what happens when a cop goes crooked. I just crept into the corrupt. And couldn't creep out again.
Danny, Jim only took the dough for your sake. Just so she could have a real American college education. You know, reading, writing, necking.
Oh, I can't believe it. My brother, a hoodlum.
Oh, that's a lie. One thing Jim never did, he never hoodled.
Jim, I gotta turn you in.
Oh.
These letters are all a grand jury needs to convict Nick Rocco.
Oh, no, Danny, no.
I'm sorry the state cannot allow anyone to get away with riding a bicycle without a rear light.
Don't move. This gun's loaded.
Rocco!
All right, Danny. You got your evidence, Danny Malarkey, but you ain't gonna live to use it.
Look out, Danny!
Jim.
Oh, he got me.
Oh, Jim. Jim, that bullet, it was meant for me.
Well, don't be selfish about it.
Danny, I want to say something before I die. Lift my head up a little, Maxine.
Oh, sure.
Not by the mustache. Don't grieve, Danny. Perhaps it's better this way. I was rotten, wasn't I? Rotten all through.
Oh, not all through. You were quite good in the glums.
Danny, I think I'm going. Do one thing for me. Get Rocco.
I'll get him, Jim. I'll get him. I'll walk the earth smooth till I find him. I'll move.
All right, never mind. The acting is Jim's big scene. Goodbye. Maxine, to you. To you I leave the gold of a summer afternoon. The silver of moonlight through a willow tree.
No money? Oh, he's...
I'm afraid so. Leave us not judge him too harshly. If Jim acted badly, it was for a good and understandable reason.
Well, I can't do an American accent.
You're telling me. Good night, all. Patty
Sarah Benowitz and the augmented BBC Review Orchestra bring our recorded show to a close. Those involved were Dick Bentley and Professor Jimmy Edwards, encouraged by Wallace Eaton, Elmer Cogan, June Whitfield and the Keynotes. The announcer was David Dunhill. Frank Muir and Dennis Norton wrote the script, and the program is produced by Charles Maxwell. We all invite you to tune in next week at...